So Eric, thank you very much for joining me for a coffee with the editor. I think for the purpose of just a little bit of background, if you can tell my audience a little bit about yourself and also what the last 3 days have been about.
Thank you for the opportunity. First of all, this continental meeting on the railway technical expert meeting has been organized by the African Union Commission in collaboration with the AUDA NEPAD. Myself, I'm Eric Najengerwa. I'm the acting head of Transport and Mobility Division. I've been representing the Director of Infrastructure and Energy. The main objective during the last 3 days for this meeting, one, we have a continental flagship project, which is the African Integrated High-Speed Railway Network. It is one of the flagship projects under the AU Agenda 2063. It was one of the projects which was selected as important in terms of creating the physical integration of Africa that we are looking at. But secondly, it is one of the projects which can work as a catalyst or to boost the intra-Africa trade. So it has potential to really support the implementation of the African Continental Free Trade Area. During this 3 days workshop, the first objective was to look at the pilot project, which has been already developed under a master plan. This master plan was developed into two phases. One phase of 10 years is ending in 2033, and the second phase is by 2043. So the 13 projects were selected on the basis of their potential or their potential to connect Africa, looking at the different regions and also in a corridor, integrated corridor approach.
All right, so let's just talk about the regions that have been represented here. I think you call them RECs. How many RECs were part of this initiative?
Fortunately, we had a very good participation by the RECs because their role is very critical when it comes to coordinating at regional level the implementation of projects. There are a lot of coordination aspects that are involved. So fortunately, we had 7 RECs out of the 8 RECs which are recognized by AU. So the only missing REC was the REC called UMA, that is the Union of Maghreb Authority, which is bringing together some countries in the Northern Africa. That was the only one missing. I want to mention as well some of the corridor management institutions that were also invited, and some of them were represented, and also sub-regional groups. When it comes to railway, some of the RECs have managed to establish even some railway associations. The example is the Southern African Railway Association, which it's called RSARA. They have attended the meeting and they were able to present, their regional railway network and others.
Yes, and obviously SARA is like the transport and railway.
Yes.
It's the railway division of the SADC.
Yes.
Who are also here.
Mm.
So what are we hoping to achieve out of this 3-day event? What are we trying to lock down and walk away with?
First output, I may say, is to establish the status of this pilot project within the Continental Railroad Network project, to in terms of establishing a more coordination framework when it comes to issues, for example, of getting data on time, because we have seen that there is a problem of changing of institutional structures of some of the agencies and at member state level. So we wanted, first of all, to make sure that we have a new contacts and networking, the way the member states communicate and also the regional communities. The second objective was also to share best practices, because I can say some of the region are at advanced stage when it comes to the railway sector. For example, Southern Africa has already some lines which are already under operations. Other RECs, for example, Central Africa, which is ECAS, some of the lines were designed very long ago, but they are not operational. There was also that thing of getting best practices, sharing experiences, looking at some of the solutions, issues of standards of interoperability between the railway lines. Also, learning from each other on the issues of capacity building in terms of designing the railways projects, concluding the feasibility study. But also, importantly, is the role that AUDA NEPAD brought in, bringing the private sector, because we want to see These railway lines, which are requiring a lot of, you know, resources, capital expenditure. So we want to bring in the private sector to be able to talk to with the public sector, with the governments, to, you know, to have some alliances in terms of the private public-private partnerships, but also look at the issues of bringing, for example, the rolling stock, the equipment, which is another big challenge. And I can say that, yes, we achieved our objective because we are able to share the experiences. We brought in some companies which are already experienced, which have some railway lines which are working. We brought in others which are at feasibility study, so they could learn the design stages that the others have taken. So that has been a very good success. You know, it was achieved. But also, Auda Nepad came in and presented on the tools that when you are looking at financing railway projects, what are the financing tools? What are the financing options you can use? What are the potential development partners who are ready to support this sector so that there can be some linkages and some networking after the workshop?
Mm. One of the things that I found quite interesting is the revitalization of the African Union of Railways.
Mm.
It's been an organization that's been, for want of a better word, dead for some time. If we had to look at the role of the AU, NEPAD, or the African Union, and then, of course, all the RECs who are regionally coordinating things, is there really a need to put in another body? Could the African Union not actually facilitate the overall oversight?
Maybe I can give a bit of a background. The African Union of Railways, when this African Integrated High-Speed Railway project was approved as a flagship project, so there was a question to see what can be like an implementing agency for this very ambitious project. So the proposal which came for discussion was if there is already an existing association of African railways, if the railway agencies have a different, you know, association and they can come together, form one association at continental level. So the specialized technical committee of ministers of transport made a decision to that this association can be assessed to see if they can it can be an implementing agency for the railway sector. Mm. So that was done as a decision backward, I think, 2015.
Okay.
But because of some challenges within that organization, it was not possible to actually start as a real implementing agency. There have been some challenges.
Mm.
But we still think that those challenges, if the members of the association can come together and find solution on how these challenges can be overcome, the AUC can still support this, you know, implement this decision and make that association as an implementing agency. Of course, some development happened along the way because we saw like Southern Africa, railways have come together, made their regional association. We see also some other associations within Africa. So there is a need to also consider what is existing now, and then maybe strengthen that continental association and be able to designate it as an agency, as a specialized agency to govern and to support the implementation of the railway projects.
So the projects that you have identified, I've seen the list, and then of course there's the two priority projects. One is, correct me if I'm wrong, the one belongs to kind of like Tanzania,
mm-hmm.
which is standard gauge. It is in the process of being implemented partially.
Mm.
And the other one involves Namibia and South Africa
and Botswana.
Mm. But by the sounds of it, the elements of that network, that won't be standard gauge, nor will it be high speed.
What I can say about the standard and the gauge, first of all, is like when this flagship project at continental level was adopted, it was recommended that some new lines which were not already developed, it was recommended to make them as standard gauge railway lines. The reason is because the standard gauge in terms of the speed, we're looking at the, you know, more speed to move, intra-Africa, a higher, you know, axle load, the speed as well, and also the issue of decarbonization of transport. It's very critical because a standard gauge railway line is the electrical line, so it will also address climate agenda. When it was adopted as standard gauge, there was a caveat which was put that some of the lines which are already using other gauges, especially within Southern Africa. We have Cape gauge. There are some other areas within Africa where you have meter gauge, especially when you see some of the lines in Central Africa, which were developed maybe in during very long ago, some years ago, and even in Eastern Africa. So the idea was to design some norms, some technical solution in terms of interoperability, so that the existing line cannot be removed completely, but we encourage the new to be standard gauge. But we also make sure that there is some technical solution to make sure there is a seamless connection, among the gauges. If it's a cap gauge, meter gauge, it can seamlessly connect to a standard gauge without any problem.
All right, so if we take the African Continental Free Trade Agreement into account and the presentation that was given on day one, I think it was, there is clearly a very big need in order to meet the requirements of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement to have rail in place. So has rail now become like a priority for the African Union and like the whole NEPAD arrangement in order to support the objectives of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement? And will that give impetus to seeing some of the projects fast-tracked?
Absolutely. It is still, as I said, it is still a priority. It has become even more as a priority when it comes to looking at issues of how can we improve transport connectivity, because this is the main agenda. When you talk of the free trade area, when you talk of the free movement of people, this cannot be done without a reliable and connected transport system. It was a flagship project even before the FCFTA was adopted. So now when we start implementing, it comes even more a priority, because we cannot continue to rely on the road transport network, which actually serves the continental transport network is served at between 70% to 80% by road transport. But if we bring in the railway transport, we'll resolve two issues. The network will be expanded, but we also resolve the issue of decarbonization, because the pollution and the contribution of CO2 emission by the road transport is very huge, and it is increasing year by year. But if we bring in the road transport, the railway, it will replace in some of the areas the road transport, and we'll be able to have a more dense and more efficient network.
Thank you very much for your time, and I look forward to catching up with you again.
Thank you very much.